NASCAR fans got much more than they expected at the Daytona 500 last month. The race set records for lead changes and caution flags, and in the end, 20-year-old Trevor Bayne held off Carl Edwards to become the youngest driver ever to win the race, and you can hear the excitement in the call from Fox Sports.
Edwards has room underneath. Now he pushes Trevor Bayne.
It's over.
Cinderella.
Trevor Bayne is going to win the Daytona 500.
Unbelievable.
Happy birthday, Trevor Bayne, 20 years old.
The announcers couldn't restrain themselves. The crowd erupted in applause, and apparently so did a number of journalists in the press box. One of them, Tom Bowles, not only admitted that he cheered, but he defended it, and he says that got him fired. Should journalists ever cheer, not just in sports, but when they're covering politics or business? We'd especially like to hear from other journalists. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. Tom Bowles is a now former freelance writer for sportsillustrated.com and joins us from a studio at WHYY, our member station in Philadelphia. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me on the program, Neil.
And I know you've written, every reporter knows the rule. There's no cheering in the press box.
Absolutely. And I've been working in the sport for 5 years and never once thought of breaking that rule. It's something that all sports writers kind of inherently are taught in school. However, when Trevor crossed the finish line, for people that might not know NASCAR, might not know the sport, think of baseball. Think of witnessing a perfect game in Game 4 of the World Series, or maybe 1980, the Olympics, the U.S. hockey team winning the gold medal. It was a very special moment, and my reaction wasn't one that was planned. It was just natural. And before I knew it, I was just erupting in mild applause. No cheering, no saying woohoo or anything like that, just kind of mild applause. And people around me actually also erupted in mild applause and appreciation for the moment.
After you applauded, though, you wrote about it and defended it. You didn't say, well, maybe I made a mistake.
Yeah. What happened was, in NASCAR, a lot of fans like to follow Twitter because reporters are reporting on all 43 cars in the race. And sometimes, with the race on television, you only get to see five or six cars. And sometimes us reporters will have a tip on somebody's favorite driver. So reporters were very active after the race. And a lot of people were criticizing those that had clapped in the media center after the win and said that that was unethical and that was something that shouldn't have happened. And so I decided to just write a tweet that said, hey, if any of my readers find it upsetting that I clapped for a couple of seconds after the 500, all I can tell them is it was a natural historic moment. And a lot of my national media brethren reacted to that with anger and criticism towards what I did just for standing up for those few seconds of clapping. And here we are a couple of weeks later, and I no longer have a job.
And were some of those who criticized you some of the same people who themselves applauded?
Well, when it happened, I wasn't necessarily looking around the media center to see who else was actually clapping, but I certainly wasn't the only one. Everybody in the media center, it heard the applause from various people. There was actually a question in the victory press conference asked to Trevor Bayne, hey, do you realize that you made the media center erupt in applause? And Trevor actually was embarrassed and said, wow, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And so there were other people that clapped. I was just the only one that admitted to it because, I just thought that people criticizing it just for the couple of seconds that it happened, I just thought that it was silly. I think that you have to have passion and appreciation for the sport that you cover and for what you do. And that doesn't mean that you clap every week or every month or even every year. But when a once-in-a-lifetime moment happens in front of you, I think sometimes you just naturally become human. And I know that's what happened to me. And I wasn't going to apologize for becoming human for that few seconds.
Are sports journalists different than journalists?
That's a really good question, Neil. And we're covering cars going around in circles. we're not necessarily covering what you guys just talked about in Wisconsin or the war going on in Libya. And in a way, sports is a form of glorified entertainment. And I think a lot of journalists were upset that by those few seconds of clapping, just that few seconds of showing emotion, you're showing bias. But isn't everybody inherently biased? And isn't what goes down on paper what you should be judged on, not just a couple of seconds of applause, you know, in a media center that none of my fans or none of my readers would have even known about, you know, unless I had just defended the whole instance of clapping on Twitter. And I think that's the big question. And I think, you know, it is two different types of things. And, you know, again, I think what goes down on paper is most important. And, you know, most everybody would agree that my actual article was certainly unbiased and reported on the actual story that unfolded, not the 3 seconds of clapping that defined what could be the end of my career.
Yet there were a lot of sports journalists who said, we have to be held to the same standards as journalists in the other parts of the newspaper, the radio network, the television network. We have to hold ourselves to those standards or fear being relegated to second-class citizens who cover the toy department.
Yeah. At the same time, who are we doing this for? Who are we writing for? We're writing for a readership. And you, what does the readership want? What is the readership interested in? And the number one piece of feedback I got from fans, who I can't thank them enough, they've been overwhelmingly supportive. They all said, we judge what you write down on that piece of paper. We're not necessarily judging 5 seconds that we don't see. We're judging what we read. And my 100,000, you know, I can imagine my readership was somewhere in the neighborhood of 50,000 to 150,000. You, they came back to read what I wrote every week, and they didn't really care about what I did, you know, outside the track. And I think that there's an aspect of feel-good story to this as well. You know, in 1980, when the U.S. Olympic team won the gold medal, I've been told by many people in reaction to this that the entire press box stepped up and cheered. Because it was a universal feel-good moment.
No, I was at that game. And first of all, the press box at that particular auditorium up in Lake Placid was very small. So most of the reporters were not in a press box, but scattered around the auditorium in regular seats. And I can't speak for the other ones. I was the only one I could see. And I had to stand up to see what was going on because everybody else was standing up. But I did not cheer.
Why?
Because it's not my role to cheer. Because it's inappropriate for me to cheer for the United States hockey team in that situation, just as it's inappropriate for me to cheer if one politician wins an election over somebody else, or it's inappropriate for me to cheer if one army wins a battle over somebody else.
Well, at the same time, when you're experiencing a moment, and I think it's everybody's personal choice to decide what they do or what they not do, again, it wasn't a reaction that I was controlling. It was just a couple of seconds of becoming human. And when we're defining cheering, does mild applause constitute a cheer? Does that constitute a loss of unbiasedness? If you have a reporter that doesn't cheer for those 5 seconds, but then takes some free stuff in the media center and then writes a report that's clearly biased towards one particular driver or one particular thing, what one would you rather read? The reporter that clapped for a couple seconds and then wrote an unbiased account of what happened? Or the guy that took a bunch of free stuff, maybe had a drink with a driver afterwards, and then wrote a report that was slanted towards somebody?
We're talking with Tom Bowles, a former freelance writer for SportsIllustrated.com. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. What's appropriate? We'd especially like to hear from other journalists, and we'll start with Frank. And Frank's with us from Baltimore.
Hi.
Hi, Frank. You're on the air.
I'm a journalist, a photojournalist, and, you know, if you define the word journalism, I mean, inherently a part of the job is to refrain and keep your emotions and bias in check, first and foremost. And the second you lose sight of that, you cease to become a journalist by definition. And that's what's going on in the United States now. We're not journalists anymore. They're media personalities more than journalists. So his argument is pointless because, I mean, he's throwing things back on people that may or may not have done it. As soon as somebody accepts a free drink or, you know, whatever, they cease to become a journalist and shouldn't call themselves that in the first place.
So this rise of bloggers that we've seen in the last 5 or 7 years that continues to become more
bloggers. Exactly.
Yeah, but then more people are reading them than some of the national journalists out there. So
we aren't there to please our readers. We're there to inform our readers. And many times that will make them uncomfortable or unhappy. It's not to get your ratings up or see how large your readership is. Your job is to tell the truth without bias, without emotion, you know?
Yeah, but if the actual article on paper shows no bias and no emotion to it, it just reports on the race, then how do those 3 or 4 seconds matter that the actual readership doesn't see?
You cheered for a person, so obviously you were biased. And, you know, there is respectful clapping, you know, and that's what the host was, I believe, talking about. And, yeah. And we are to be respectful of our surroundings. And that's one of the things we have to do. It's not to cheer for one or the other, but, you know, it's to maintain a presence
right.
That's not, you know, so people aren't looking at you awkwardly or you aren't making a spectacle of yourself by your actions, by doing
Frank.
Or not doing something. I mean,
Frank, thanks very much. We want to give somebody else a chance, but we thank you very much for the phone call. We're talking with Tom Bowles, a former freelance writer for SportsIllustrated.com, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's a couple of emails. This from Jim in Lapeer, Michigan. It sounds to me almost exactly like Al Michaels' "Do you believe in miracles?" comment during the 1980 Olympics. Some employers should stop worrying about their employees being human, surely not unethical. And when someone is criticized, it's perfectly normal to defend oneself, particularly if a non-response is interpreted as accepting the criticism as justified. And this from Jim in Los Angeles. Sorry, the press box has humans in it. We'll fix that when Watson gets there. That, of course, a reference to the computer that recently won a contest on Jeopardy. Let's get another caller in. This is Bob. Bob with us from Stockton, California.
Hi. Yeah, you know, there are great or significant moments in that occur in both sports and in the news. And I think it's appropriate that you react to those significant moments. You know, this is kind of ridiculous when they're holding you accountable for being unbiased for seeing something that was quite significant when we have the likes of you know, on one side you have like a Rachel Maddow, on the other side you have a Glenn Beck. I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, they're somewhat biased, and your expression of your reaction to, you know, what was a great moment, similar to you know, maybe the hockey team, like you said earlier, or for example when Walter Cronkite reacted to Kennedy's.
Yes. Yeah, and why are Rachel and Glenn on the air? They're on the air. You're two different polarizations, but because people watch them and people are interested in what they have to say, and you're right, they're polarizing figures, but there is a concept of, you know, readership to this. You know, people are talking about journalism and partiality. Things are changing.
Yeah, 20 or 30 years ago, there was a concerted effort to remain unbiased in the media and provide a neutral, straightforward point of view. But, you know, and I guess this doesn't really apply to NPR, but, you know, the commercial news organizations moved from sort of a neutral standpoint to being part of the media or part of the revenue stream, and that changed things a lot.
Not all of it, Bob, but we thank you for your call, and thanks for the kind words. We appreciate that. Let's see if we go next to this is James, and James with us from Cherryville in North Carolina.
Hi.
Go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I think he got a raw deal because I'll be honest with you. Well, I mean, I guarantee you, when Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record, there were all kind of reporters standing up and cheering that this record had finally been broken by a new player. But at the same time, I do look at Fox News, who not only hires the opposition party and promotes the opposition party, but, you know, everybody knows that they're taking that money they made off Fox to run for office down the line.
And so you think that there is a dividing line here?
Yes, I believe when it comes to entertainment, I believe there is a dividing line. It's okay. I mean, I think you need to be, you know, you need to give the story straight out as it is. But if something really great or fantastic happens, it's hard to hold back that human emotion. Like, wow, Hank Aaron just broke Babe Ruth's record, or this young driver just won this NASCAR race. And I mean, these are the things that it's like things that stand out among all the ordinary things that are happening around them.
All right, James, thanks very much. Let's see if we go next to Alice with us from Sacramento.
Hi, Hi. My comment was just that it seems like this ethic is not applied across the board. And my opinion also is that if the journalist has an opinion or what expresses something like this journalist did, and they have a disclaimer that, you know, he did. This was my personal reaction, a personal moment. This is my opinion. That seems to fall within ethics to me, and that does not apply across the board. There's no claiming of opinions. There's just stating as fact where it is opinion, even lies.
Tom Bowles, would you accept that?
I think that as journalists, no matter what we report on, whether we show it or not, the second that we meet people, we're inherently judging. And we may not outwardly show it, but we have reactions to things. And I think the most important thing as a journalist is to make sure those reactions are vetted out by the time you put them on paper. Because even if you weren't clapping, even if you weren't standing up as that person crossed the line, if you were passionate about the sport that you cover, on the inside, you were appreciating the moment. And you need to be able to separate that from what your actual story is. And certainly, you know, I put on Twitter that, you know, I clapped and admitted that I clapped. And I think in a way, you, if you're a reader of me and you see that, then you know that going in and you judge my work for what it is. But that one sentence wasn't in my work.
Alice, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Tom Bowles, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks to everybody that's supported me throughout this whole ordeal.
Tom Bowles, a freelance writer who covers NASCAR and the owner of FrontStretch.com, an independent news site focused on stock car reporting. And he joined us today from member station WHYY in Philadelphia. Tomorrow, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Guest host Joe Palca will be here to ask the question, what space missions should we prioritize in the next decade? That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.